From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, Nigel is going to proffer one statistic which is going to lead us to have a discussion. Nigel, what is that statistic?
It's from our good friend Josh Burson, and I'm in Australia, and I got up at 5 a.m. to listen to a webinar that he was leading. So that shows a bit of dedication. But one little statistic he quoted was that 96% of learning organizations, it's a high number, 96% of learning organizations want to increase self-directed learning, but only 24% consider that they have been successful. And so I just wanted to talk about that rather astonishing figure and to talk a little bit about self-directed learning. And we've never shown a lot of interest in self-directed learning. It's always been about organizationally directed learning and making the organization more responsive and accommodating the needs of the individual, all of this stuff. Rarely have we heard that the big thing is self-directed learning. And yet that statistic comes bouncing along from Josh Burson. And I think there's a lot in that, to be honest with you, because I think that if we don't empower individuals to take charge of their own learning destinies, and if we think that a workforce that sits back and says, develop me, is in any way successful or any logic going forward for the future, I think we're much mistaken. And, you know, part of my culture of learning is a function of the culture of learning is to encourage people to create an environment where they not only develop themselves, but they help develop others. So it's all part of the sharing, learning community, mentoring, coaching kind of environment. So Josh may have put his finger on something quite important. I don't know what you think, Martin.
So what exactly is self-directed learning, Nigel?
What it is, it simply means that each individual has their own targets and challenges, some of which will be organizationally imposed on them. You've got to be able to do this. You need to know about that. You need to develop this skill. But some of it will be their own personal need based on their career aspiration, based on what interests them, based on maybe a trajectory that the organization is taking that they want to stay abreast of. So they sort of take responsibility for it and they seek help and they seek resources and they work on it as part of their own personal development, basically. And the organization kind of holds them accountable for it. And they don't say, why didn't you do this to me? The organization says, why didn't you do this to yourself? That's basically it.
For me, important words here would be accountability, responsibility. Yes. There's a big problem just to me in what the role of the organization here.
I think you put your finger on it. I don't think it's to do with individuals. I think it's to do with organizations and organizations that say, do what we tell you. This is your minimum commitment. These are the programs that you have to undertake that are mandatory. Anything else is in your own time. To an organization that says, if we can cultivate your curiosity, if we encourage you to share and work with your colleagues and learn from them, we'll actually get much more out of you as an employee than by saying, don't waste your time, focus, keep going along the straight and narrow. So if you take something like, you know, someone who is in a very strong compliance organization, you have to do these, and compliance is absolutely key. It would be allowing people time, space, and opportunity to do things that are completely different, that happen to interest them, that may happen to interest a group of people so that you can set up little groups. It relates directly to working out loud, to articulating those kinds of processes. But I think above all, what is behind that statistic is an attempt to create increasingly agile workforces, people who can turn on a sixpence, who can respond to disruption and change and come over the hill stronger than before, rather than just defeated by the first wave, because no one ever told me this. I don't understand what the hell is going on. Where did this all come from? I think that's what's behind it. And that is very interesting that that has now become a trend. So that the kind of stuff that I'm finding in my book, that exceptional organizations are taking forward, seems to be the direction of travel. And I actually find that quite heartening. It warms me a little bit. And it kind of justifies getting up at 4:45 in the morning.
But I've just got one last thought, which is around the ability of all people, all employees, to learn how to learn more effectively. I'm raising this idea of the organisation being a problem here, but I think also it could be a very positive part of the solution. And one part of that solution is helping people to learn better and be more effective, because schools are beginning to get better at this, helping kids prepare for exams more effectively, this kind of thing. But really, you go through life and you just do things in the way you've been told to do them, or you've picked up. But there's plenty of great stuff out there now, which is actually you can be a much better learning machine yourself, using these kind of approaches and different types of tips and lots of strategies that can help us as individuals to be better at it. And you don't hear that being talked about much either, but surely that might be something that should be more of a focus for learning teams in organizations as well.
You're absolutely spot on. And that's the Corporate Research Forum's latest report, looking at operational learning. And then looking at essentially a different kind of learning that focuses on helping people think, helping people learn, helping people adapt, helping people be confident in the new world. And those things, they call it generative learning. So yeah. I think that's not a bad word. So increasingly, we need generative learning, which gives people the tools to think, to learn, to be productive going forward, not just the operational stuff, which helps them in the day. So I guess it's like operational learning helps you in the present. Generative learning will help you in the future and the continuing future. That's the distinction. I think it's a very important distinction. And this is an important area that we'll come back to, I think, Martin. But we should probably stop there. We've given it a good old go. So, Martin, it's really good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nigel. From scratch.